the USA in your Chevrolet. America's asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all.
I don't even know if I can go on. Now that I know that our show is garbage. At least that's the email I got.
Oh,
one listener. Yeah, it's garbage now. Oh, well. Can't win them all. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to check in. We have some kind of sad news about Limey's Malibu, too. I hope you don't mind if we mention this, because this kind of thing makes me sick. It has to make you sick, too. Ladies and gentlemen, direct from the greatest Chevy dealership in the United States, and that would be, of course, Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. Here is Johnny Londoff. Hello, John.
Hello, Frank. Hey, what if we do this? What if we go, here's Johnny?
No one's ever
been
done that.
It's been done.
Huh? Where?
That's been done. That was done.
Yeah, we could
that
do
was
that.
Done years ago, yeah. So,
really?
So John, yeah, let me...
Really?
Let me,
I don't remember.
I'll let Limey jump in here and give us sort of the rest of the story. But as you know, he is over the moon with this Malibu that he got from you.
Well, of course he is. Yes.
A sad thing happened. Some moron, while the car was parked, scraped the side of his Malibu.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't leave a note. You know, Limey described the damage. It's the driver's door.
It is.
Right?
It's on the driver's side, the driver's door, and there are two tiny little dings in there where you can tell that the bumper, like if the front bumper hit as they were like reversing out, I can tell that, like, you know, somebody was reversing out, they cut it too early and they hit my car. Obviously they cut it too early because they were already at an angle when it was at the driver's side. Now there are some faint scratches, maybe about 8 or 10 inches long.
Let me show people what 8 to 10 inches looks like. Hang on here. Here's 8 to 10 inches right there.
Oh, wow.
It's a pretty significant scratch.
Yeah, no. It's pretty big. But it's
so,
not.
So take a couple of pictures and text them to me.
Okay. I'll do that after
there
the show.
Go.
Thank you.
We've got people, we've got sources, and we'll get you taken care of.
Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate
because,
that.
Because I think
we'll
you can't.
Taken
you
care of.
You got to get that fixed because you can't.
I have
get
to.
That. This is your new baby. You
it's killing me. Exactly. Until my actual baby gets here, this car is my baby. It is the most important thing in my life right now.
Do you think it's possible the person that did this maybe didn't know they did it? I'm going to say no. They
no.
knew.
No.
Oh, I'm
at
sure
the angle
knew.
Of it, you can tell. I know what they did. They pulled out.
It.
They hit it and thought, oh, crap. Parked. Re-put, like, just pulled all the way out and then just bailed. And, of course, they're not going to say anything.
They pulled out, which is what you didn't do with that girl you got pregnant.
Oh, wow. You know what? That's why this is garbage.
Got me on that one.
Yeah. You're right, Dan. What I just did makes the show garbage.
Hey, Johnny.
It is. I mean, this is a family. This is a family spot. I mean, Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, we're all about
sure
family.
Is.
We're about Londoff
sure
love. It's all about family. And you
I
know
agree.
What? We provide transportation, Frank. We provide people the ability to go from point A to point B to point C and back again. And then if their car gets scratched, if someone hits it and takes off, we're there to help take care of it. Okay, we're here to tip. But, you know, some of the things you say, just, oh, my God.
Hey, John.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yes, Daniel.
Can I take your idea and run with it? Because I just kind of put something together. I just had this idea. A light bulb went off, and I thought we could do this and introduce you. You ready? See what you think. Here's Johnny.
No.
What do you think?
No.
Original. I like it. That's original.
John has
hello.
His own identity.
Hello, everybody. Hello. How are you? Great to see you. What a crowd we've got tonight. What a crowd. How about these people in the front row? Wow.
Yeah. now it's an even worse idea.
You are correct, sir.
Excuse me.
Johnny?
Excuse me. I'm a sponsor. You don't talk
yeah, I know,
way.
And it's my job to be honest with you and tell you when something works or doesn't work. You don't need that. You
no, just because it's
identity.
Not your, just because it's not your idea.
Okay, that's part of it. Yeah,
okay.
That's a lot to do with it.
Any,
a lot
any
to do
chance
with
that, any chance that you can have problems with your phone again today for 10 minutes or not?
Wow! Oh, sure, I can make that happen.
Wow! It's actually not a phone. It was a broadcast line, but I can make that happen. That sounds pretty good to me.
Any chance that your mic you go out, but
I can make that.
Wow.
Anytime.
No, it's okay. It's all right. You know, hey, you know, you got to be able to take it when you dish it out. Come on.
If this little incident with the door had happened with my wife's car, she could go 3 months and never even notice it. Like if she has a low tire or something, I have to go, hey, your tire's low. She doesn't notice that stuff. So, Limey, how long do you think went by before you noticed it?
It was done Saturday night, I'm sure. Because that was the last time.
Where do you think it was parked?
I know it was parked. It was parked behind my other job at the restaurant. Somebody had asked me to pick up a shift for them, so I was like, yeah, of course.
Sounds like to me? Another radio personality who knew your car, heard you talk about the Malibu.
Probably.
Thought, ooh, this looks like an employee parking area. I'll bet that's his car. I'm going to scratch it because I'm a jealous radio person. Mm-hmm.
Hey, look at that guy's car. I'm going to go scratch it.
Yeah. Trevor, are there cameras by chance?
No, I went and checked out this morning. There is one camera, and it's on an abandoned building, an abandoned section in the strip mall, and it's facing completely the opposite way, and it doesn't even move.
Well, this person got lucky. Because John's got a good point. There are cameras most everywhere. This person got very lucky. There's no camera there. Because if there had been, and we got video, you look like a big loser because we got you hitting and running. And gotcha. But in this case, we didn't.
That's right. That's right.
They'll send them those pictures. They'll take care of it.
They're going to be cameras everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And there need to be. There need to be cameras everywhere to where then these punk, you know, crooks and thugs and you know, people that lie, you know, this way if someone would have been caught and you got that plate number and you got it on video, they can't say that wasn't me.
And then you get to embarrass them. Not only do you get to nail them, you get to embarrass them because they ran.
Somebody just called and said they were parked out at the airport and they had a scrape down the side of their car and they said the person left a little sticky note and it said, "Sorry, I hit your car." And that was it.
Wow.
No information, no nothing. Just a little sticky note that said, sorry.
There's a great joke about a guy who hits a car, and there's a lot of people around. He gets out of his car, walks over, and writes this note and puts it under the wiper. And here's the note. There are a lot of people watching me right now, and they think that I'm giving you my information because I hit your car. I'm not. I just want them to see me writing the note so I can get out of here.
That's cruel. That's absolutely cruel.
That's terrible. But we'll get you taken care of, Trevor.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Because, I mean,
that's what we do at County Law of Chevrolet. We take care of our own. We take care not only if you're on the broadcast, if you're part of the team, but you know, the listeners, the people that come, all the AM and the PM crowd that come to County Law of Chevrolet.
Right.
We're talking about thousands, you know. But when you've got a million people listening every day, you know, there are more. There are more of you out there, AM and the PM crowd. We are here with open arms for you, 24/7, 365, you know, all the time. And hey, if your car gets scratched, we'll get you taken care of too. Kid me? How about the weather today? Beautiful day.
Fantastic.
I just got a warning about another windstorm. When have we had this? I think is the fourth major windstorm in probably the last 10 weeks, because one that I will not forget was the one that was just 6 weeks ago that then brought a massive oak tree against the west side of my house.
That's right. Yeah. How's that going?
It's going. It is going. Jeff Gillum Construction Company, Howard Roofing is doing the roofing, and I don't have enough time to mention everyone that is really working hard to roll their sleeves up to make our house brand new again. It's one thing, Trevor, how you feel about your car. I just hate when people damage cars. I can't stand. I see a car that's been driving around for weeks, you know, with a bumper hanging off it or something. It's like, fix your car, you know. But and when it's your house, it's even more traumatic. So, but again, Trevor, we'll take care of you, buddy.
Thank you, Sam. I'll send you pictures as soon as the show gets done. Pictures.
Great. All right. Sounds good. And
what did I tell you before we went on? I want to tell you, Limey. I said they'll take great care of it.
You did, sir.
Didn't I tell you that?
You did.
Yeah. You're a customer now, man. You're a customer.
And you almost called them Lammy.
I don't believe I did, no.
Yeah.
No, Dan. Oh. Stop it. Frank never makes
a mistake. I'm sorry.
Daniel.
Thanks for noticing that.
I am sorry. Right. And now back to Johnny.
You know, I don't know why you don't get it when somebody calls to your attention that something's not a great idea. You just don't seem to get it.
Hold it. You're the only one not laughing. We're all laughing. I think it's hilarious.
See, the problem with this, Johnny, is that Frank's got 5.5 votes, and he's outvoting us 5.5-5.
No, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
It's like the Electoral College. Right.
Yeah, it's like the U.S. Congress right now. But I'm going to tell you one thing. It brings back memories. If you want to have a laugh, you know, just go on YouTube and Google. I mean, some of Johnny Carson's, some of the great. Oh my God, I can remember the memory that I have of my dad and I, you know, watching the one TV that we had at the house, and just giggling and laughing. Some of my best and most Don Rickles. I mean, even towards the end of his life, the guy was hilarious. But back in the day, I mean, my God, my dad would be crying. He would be laughing so hard at Don Rickles. But
who would ever have thought that bit would go the distance it did? Because it's pretty much been the same, you hockey puck,
yeah,
the same bit without any real variation, yet it was still funny. And boy, did he get some mileage out of that single routine.
And speaking of hockey puck, the Blues tonight in Winnipeg.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
And so, folks, before the game starts, you still have plenty of time to come and get a heck of a deal at Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. Or even while you're watching the game, you can email us at Londoff.com. Go to Londoff.com, check out the deals. And, you know, the playoffs are just a different kind of game. It's like the game is not as nasty as it used to be. It's still very physical. But, you know, the fighting just has really kind of gone away, which I think sometimes allows some really cheap play, because you know there's not a guy on the bench like Kelly Chase that's going to break your neck if you go after, you know, one of the skilled players like a Tarasenko or Chen.
O'Reilly.
O'Reilly can handle himself.
Yeah.
He's a bear. No, first of all, you'd have to be able to catch him to hit him. But so it should be a good game. Going to be a tough series against Winnipeg, and that's not an easy flight back and forth. You know, from St. Louis to Winnipeg, Manitoba. Eh?
Well, why is it not an easy flight? What does that mean?
I mean, it's probably about a 5-hour flight.
Oh, okay, just a long flight.
It's a but distance, not... yeah.
Okay.
It'd be a lot easier if they were playing like the Dallas Stars or.
Now you're a big Blues fan. Have you ever flown out of town to watch the Blues play in another city, just specifically for that reason? You went to another city.
Yes.
You have. Wow, that's a true fan. See, that's a real fan.
But I'll tell people that I'm with. I'll say, hey, listen, let's do this. Don't wear a Blues jersey. You're not going to wear Blues garb. I mean, nothing against it, but we're in somebody else's rink. Okay, and we're not going to jump up and down and high-five when the Blues score, or we'll probably get our butts kicked. So, you know, I've been to Detroit, the old Joe Louis Arena. Now I've been to the new Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. And there was a game against the Blues in a playoff game. And there were a couple of guys. I'm like, you know, just take it easy, because these people, they'll kill us. I'm just telling you, this is just not for the faint of heart. Especially you talk about hockey just 20 years ago. And I remember a playoff game years ago against the Toronto Maple Leafs. It was game 7 in St. Louis at the old arena, the barn. And this lady, there was a fight, and there was blood drawn, and there was blood, you know, all over right in front of us. And I thought this lady was going to pass out. And I'm like, are you okay? She goes, this is my first hockey game. Like, this is your first hockey game. We're playing the Toronto Maple Leafs. This is your first hockey game. I won't go into detail, but this is when Kutsoff took out Fjord, our goaltender.
Oh.
Which is then, that was when Irishman had that double overtime laser shot. Was it over Rick Hines's shoulder?
Oh.
And when we had Gretzky.
Yes.
And, who was our crazy coach back then?
Mike Keenan.
Keenan. He the only idiot that would ever call out the great one, Wayne Gretzky, in between periods. Long story short, I told her, I said, you might want to go home. You might want to go home and maybe watch a rerun of a baseball game or something.
believe it or not, as the non-sports guy that I am, I actually did one time go out of town to watch a Cardinal baseball game. And I went with four other guys to Chicago, to Wrigley Field, because I'd never been to Wrigley Field. And I got to tell you something. It was a fantastic day. I was really glad I did that. One, to get to see Wrigley, and two, to be in another city rooting for the Cardinals. That's the only time I've done that.
See, you're okay when you're in Wrigley Field rooting for the Cardinals, because there are so many
people. No, you are. You're not alone. You're not absolutely not alone. And if you go into a little place to eat before or after, you're not alone there either, because there's a lot of other red and Cardinal stuff. So you feel comfortable, not like you're going to get into it with somebody. It's a, for the most part, I think, and has been a friendly rivalry.
It is. It's very friendly. And, of course, ever since the great trade of all trades, when we traded Ernie Broglio for Lou Brock.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if there's ever been a trade greater for the St. Louis Baseball Cardinals.
No.
Hey, listen, we're going to be open late tonight. Mm. So give us a call. Come and see us. Check us out online. 314-837-1800. 314-837-1800. 24/7, 365 at lawnduff.com.
All right, John, they're on the way.
All right, thanks, Frank. See you all. Bye-bye.
They're on the way. Thank you. Bye-bye. Before we hit Dr. Doug's theme music here, I just have to share this email with you. This is just really right to the point. Frank, your show has turned into complete garbage. Goodbye.
Wow.
And then it says, don't worry about giving your little speech about me listening right now, because I won't be. Well, thank you, Bob. And yes, you are listening right now. So thanks for the email. And what always fascinates me, I recognize this guy's name, and he's listened for a long, long time, and he emails me a lot. One segment that he doesn't particularly like, and that's it. I'm gone. Goodbye. Your show is complete garbage. It's complete garbage. It's just interesting to me how people are so.
I got a message from Bob as well on Facebook, calling me that I was a phony and that he had had enough. So.
That's all we need to know about Bob.
He sent me one yesterday too. Tell me, the best part of it was the end of it was when he told me to go on living your telling your pretend stories in your pretend life.
See, this is a guy. Is it Bob with the last initial E?
Yeah.
Same guy.
He said I was anti-Trump because I made fun of him because Trump doesn't laugh. And I'm like, look, man, we make fun of everybody in this show.
Bob, you know? Let me address you, Bob, because you are listening. Nobody's Bob, safe. Here's the deal. We've done this for a while, and I've done it for quite a while, and I've seen lots of emails, thousands of emails. We can read a guy like you like a book. You are miserable. You are jealous. You're unhappy. It's your way or the highway. And quite frankly, and I hate to say this, because I want every listener we can get, but we're not going to miss you. Goodbye. And maybe good riddance, because we don't need somebody like you who wants to pick at like calling Limey a fake. How fake? He said what he said. He meant what he said. Whatever it was that you thought was fake, it's not fake. And I think a guy like this, no matter what he does, I don't think it's just us. If he goes to dinner in a restaurant, he's just born to be miserable. There are people like that. And they want to make everybody else. So, Bob, goodbye. And
he sent me an email, and he said he loves me.
What does that tell you? What does that tell you about you? Maestro, if you would please, the Dr. Doug music. There you go. Yes, it's Wednesday. Pet lovers everywhere. We had an interesting conversation, I think it was yesterday, about the cats. And there was a survey. Yeah. There was a survey over the weekend, and I was listening to a news story where they'd done some research, and they said that cats recognize their names when you call them. Really? Then they're really brilliant, because they have the ability to pretend they don't know. and just do their own thing and be real independent. I don't know much about cats, but this guy does. He also knows a lot about dogs and horses and exotic things like tigers and monkeys and iguanas and snakes and tarantulas. He is Dr. Doug Pernikoff. He's the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon and your pet's best friend. And he's brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. Here are the numbers. There's one smart caller who's already on the line. That means there's a line or two open. I would jump on it now if you want good, free advice. There we go. Now they're popping up. And when somebody finishes, folks, jump right on that phone and call 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. How about a nice round of applause for Dr. Doug Pernikoff?
Today.
Fantastic, doctor. How about you?
I am AM in the PM.
There you go. You want to jump right in and take some calls here?
Yeah, I can't believe that guy. You know, don't you hate people that write a one-way message so you can't respond, negotiate, talk?
I'm not going to go negotiate. I just wrote him back. I'm sorry to lose you. Thank you for the time you spent with us.
Yeah,
goodbye.
Yeah.
Because there's no dealing with people who are this black and white.
Personality like that.
You're never going to win. And quite frankly, as much as I hate to say it, sometimes you don't mind losing a listener like that. That we're better off.
We had to, in the veterinary clinic, once a year we would all sit down at Christmas time and measure out, was there a client that we would all invite out of the clinic at the same time? And we usually got a unanimous vote. So the next time that person would create problems for no reason, we just say, look, we can't make you happy. So thank you for your time and goodbye.
And, you know, people like to think of complaints in terms of customers complaining about, let's say, your clinic or a restaurant. Well, folks, I got news for you. Sometimes a business doesn't necessarily like a customer and would be more than happy if they didn't come back. Quick story. I've told before, when I was 18, I was a stock boy in Belleville at a little drugstore type thing. It was over the counter, not a pharmacy, but you know, aspirin and I was a stock boy, and there was a woman who came in there. We couldn't stand this woman. She was the kind of woman who would wear a fur. It wasn't that cold. She just wanted you to know she had a fur. And she'd park right at the front door where you're not supposed to park in her Mercedes. And she was just obnoxious, and we couldn't stand her. And when we saw her coming in, it was like, oh, here she comes again. So, and she was a person who belittled people like me. So I'm kneeling down, stocking a shelf in the store, and she comes over and kind of hits me on the shoulder. Like, and here's what she said, and here's how she said it. Where's your deodorant? It's like that. And I looked up at her, and I said, it's under my arms. Where's yours?
Let me tell you something.
She turned and went right to the front of the store to my boss, and she said, I want you to know what that young man said to me. And my boss says, what did he say? And she said, well, I asked where his deodorant was, and he said, under his arms, where's mine? And my boss burst out laughing. Now she's even madder. She's even madder. So she announced to us loudly in the store, you will never see me here again. And you know what my boss did to her credit? Started applauding. And we all started like, hallelujah, goodbye, don't come back.
Wow.
And boy, was she mad when she walked out of there.
Nice.
But it is true. Sometimes you can do without their business.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
Because you're never going to be happy. Okay, here we go. One more time for the numbers, because when one of these people drops, a line is open. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Drew, you're up first. Thank you for calling. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hey, Dr. Doug.
Hey, how are you, Drew?
I'm doing well. I am in the PM.
Thank you.
What you got?
My question is, I have a 4- and a 6-year-old, and I wanted to know, I think maybe Frank might be able to answer this one as well. What would be the perfect starter pet for these two kids?
Oh, see, that's a tough one, and I'll turn it over to you, Doc. And it's tough for a couple of reasons. One, I think it depends on the size of your house, the size of your yard, the age of the kid, allergies, boom, boom, boom. Doc, take it.
Just what he said. So, but to emphasize, yeah, you need to sit down and figure out what you want out of a pet, because you're bringing that. That's a burden and a love all at the same time coming into your household, and that it's going to be imposing on your regular schedule with your kids and your household schedule, and you're going to have to commit to more action, more time that's going to take away from these other opportunities. And I agree with Frank in that the first thing I think about is what's a non-allergenic dog, because God forbid you commit your heart and the kid's
but you
heart
just
to
said
a dog.
But you just said dog, which means you think the best
first pet
would be a dog.
Was he talking about pet?
Yeah, he said
pet.
Oh, okay. Well, there's nothing wrong with starting with a puppy or a kitten. The kittens are a little bit rougher on young children because their play is with nails and scratching. So I would probably prefer you start with a puppy, but then again, it imposes more on you. But you certainly can consider things like if you want simple pets like a lizard or a fish tank. So I think I mentioned this once before. We set up fish tanks in all our kids' rooms when they were young, little kids, and it provided them the light through the night. It had a motor sound which helped them sleep, a humming, and then the fish were their buddies and they became friends with them, but you were still responsible as a parent for feeding and stuff at that age, but they could start to learn some basic management about pet care. And then you move up as they get a little older and more independent, you move up to things like a puppy or something that they can't hurt. So that would be if my ultimate first decision is what I think I did, and I think it worked well. So does that make sense?
Yes, perfectly. Thank you so much.
Thank
and
you,
do fresh
Drew.
Water. It's a lot cheaper and easier to do than saltwater tanks.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
And I love
Drew.
The show. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it. You don't think it's, Drew, you don't think it's complete garbage, the show?
Oh, of course not. It's the best show in the whole area.
The world.
He was going to say world. He trimmed it down to area. We'll take that. Thank you, Drew. Doc, here's the only thing I say where I would disagree about the fish tank as the first pet. People who've never had one, and we tried to have one, it really does require a lot of upkeep. Now, I don't know about now. Maybe they have self-cleaning tanks. I don't know. It's just a lot of work, and it's going to be work for the parents because that 4 or 5-year-old's not going to do it. So that's my only hesitance.
Well, I mean, that's a consideration, but I would bet that it could be done pretty simply. Again, especially if you do fresh water. If you do salt water, you're right. It's like a daily adventure. But fresh water, they can much more forgiving. But it's just a suggestion, you know.
And I didn't know what I was doing. And so we get this first fish tank thing. And within a week, out of the 10 fish, only one survived. I didn't realize I had put in like a killer fish that eats all the fish. It ate all the other fish.
I had that one. There's passive and there's aggressive fish. I had like 5 or 6 passive fish, and then I had 2 or 3 aggressive fish, and they kept biting their fins. And I read more about it and found out. So I scooped those aggressive fish out and flushed them.
Yeah, we just told the kids if something died, we just took them into the bathroom.
Yeah.
We take the fish in the bathroom. I say, you want to see your fish go swimming? Oh, he's going on a trip.
He's going on a trip.
One-way trip. There's a line open because Drew wrapped up his segment, so there is a line open. Jump on it, people. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Tim, you're up next. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hello, Dr. Doug, and hello, gang.
Tim.
First of all, AM and the PM.
It's good to know. Thank you.
And if this show's garbage, then it's my brand of garbage. So, Dr. Doug, I've got a 5-year-old German Shepherd who, over the last year, has developed a dry and cracking nose. The skin on his nose is very dry, and it cracks to the point it actually bleeds.
Right.
Any suggestions?
Yeah, that is a tough one. I see some individuals that do that. And what we usually do is start out by trying something very innocuous, like a little bit of skin they have these skin softeners they use for dry skin in humans that are diabetic and stuff like that. I think it's called Eucerin is one, but there's a million of them. And I would try applying a little bit of that a couple times a day, just a fingertipful, because they're going to lick at it. They'll get some of it off, but you need to soften that tissue, you know, and so it's not cracking as much. There is something called nose butter, and you can get this at the pet shop, and we use that on our little breeds that get these little dry, cracked noses, and that'll help do it too, even better than what I first told you about. So you can get this nose butter, and it's just a waxy ointment, and you put it on there once a day for 3 or 4 or 5 days, and that outer dry stuff will shed itself off, and you have fresh nose underneath. And then just keep it on as a maintenance, okay?
Awesome. And guys, love the show, and don't listen to that guy.
We love listening to people like that because they're crazy. Thank you, Tim. I love crazy people and mean people sometimes. By the way, what's it called? The nose butter?
Yeah, nose butter.
Yeah. It's too bad there's not a product called face butter as opposed to butter face. That's another joke.
Oh, there's butter face, too.
Hang on a sec. I got a joke from a listener that it's kind of cheesy but funny.
Oh, wait. Hang on. Rat Boy, did you hear
that? Cheese.
Yeah, that's right. Cheesy joke. Go ahead.
You know why fish are so thin?
Hang on. Why they're so thin? Well, not all fish are thin. Why they're so thin? I don't know.
Because they eat fish.
Hello, everybody.
Well, hang on a minute. Hold on. That's not true. Not all fish eat fish, do they, Doctor?
No, not at all. No. But I think it's just
a joke.
It's not.
Why have to look so into thin. The biological.
Yeah, right. I think you're supposed to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I thought it was funny. Hey, I'm gonna go ahead and shut up now.
What do you call a fish with two knees?
What?
A two knee fish.
That's not funny. That's not funny.
This show is garbage.
Yeah, it is. I'm with Bob. I agree with Bob now.
I thought it was funny.
Let me see. I believe we have John is next. I think John. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hello, Dr. Doug, and like you, Dr. Doug, I am AM and the PM.
Yeah.
All right. You got a radio voice, John.
Oh, thank you very much. And Limey, that joke was from Seinfeld. Is it? Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, but Dr. Doug got a dog that's a little over a year old. Got him from the Humane Society.
Great.
And it's a she-dog, so I take her out, and she does her stuff, but every once in a while, she decides to wait till the very end, right before you come to the door and release her urine. And for some reason, is there something about a female dog's urine that stinks to high heck?
Usually it stinks if there's a bad infection, or it could be just concentrated. So the longer it stays in the bladder before it's emitted, it's going to just sit there and concentrate, and then you get this horrific smell. Is she spayed, I should ask?
Yes, she is. We got her from the Humane Society.
Okay, now the other thing you want to do is look at her vulva.
What does her car have to do with it?
It's the worst.
Look at her Equinox.
She can't.
This is so a one-off show.
Have you been feeding her asparagus?
No, Dan, nothing like that. She's strictly dry dog food, and that is it.
So, John, what can happen, and some of these dogs have a tucked-in vulva, and there's a lot of tissue around it.
Oh, man.
And because of that, it will retain some irritation in the folds around the vulva.
Vagina.
Vulva.
Come on.
Vagina obstructa. But you want to check that first and make sure that's clean all the time. And if not, use a little peroxide and gently blot it. Don't use alcohol because that tissue is really sensitive. And then I would also check out to make sure that you don't have a urinary tract infection. And then you finally can go over your diet with your veterinarian and see if there's anything in there that might be important for you. But, yeah, okay. You want to rule out infection, and you want to rule out the anatomical abnormality.
You want to rule out tucked-in vulva.
Tucked-in vulva.
Vulva, the other V word.
Hey, Paul, you know what?
I got pictures of it on my phone if you need them, John. I can send them to you.
Okay, that would be great.
My wife, but they're similar.
Oh, my God. John does not want pictures of your wife tucked in a vulva.
Well, you know, Frank.
I do.
Hey, Frank.
What, John?
Okay, it's amazing because, you know, Limey used the Seinfeld joke, but remember the, we couldn't remember the girl's name. What did he say, Mulva?
What? I didn't see that one.
Yes, it was Mulva.
Something like that. But, Dr. Doug, I appreciate the information, and I will, when we
John, if you don't receive Dr. Doug's pictures of his wife's tucked in vulva, let me know because I got some. I'll send you.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
Take care. Have a good weekend.
Oh,
hey, Doc, Frank.
I don't know how you get home at night.
I just hope she doesn't listen to that segment. That's all I can hope for. Yeah.
I got a question from a texter as well.
So. Can I steal Dr. Doug for one for something that happened to me today?
Sure, he's all yours.
Yeah. Dr. Doug, I took my two terriers to the groomers today. My groomer pulled me aside, and she said, you're Scrappy, the smaller one, has a disturbing growth just above his anus, and I texted you a picture of it before the show, and I'm just curious, how quickly do you think I need to rush him to the vet? I'm being serious here. How quickly do you think I need to rush him to the vet, or is it just I didn't even know what to think of it.
Okay. Did you see it yourself, or did they just...
No, I didn't see it. They pointed out to me after they shaved him.
I couldn't really see the picture. Wasn't clear, so I wasn't sure. But if it's right around the anus, they can be very benign and they can be very dangerous. So I think you should get. It's not an emergency. Like I'd get there tonight, but I would schedule an appointment, get there, and if it's something they can resect and surgically remove, have them do that and send it to the pathologist. There's a lot of things that could be going on there. It could be a hernia, actually what's called a perineal hernia, and it looks like a tumor, but all it is, a tumor just meaning a growth. It could be a swelling there. It could be an adenoma or an adenocarcinoma.
That's what I was going to say.
It could be related to the anal gland, the anal gland tumor. So there's lots of things, and that is an area you want to attack pretty aggressively because things happen fast there.
Who was the comedian who left comedy and went into cancer surgery? Johnny Carcinoma.
Oh, my goodness.
Thanks, Limey. Johnny Carcinoma.
So let me give you one other suggestion. Let me give you one other suggestion. I don't know how big this thing is, but a lot of times vets will say, well, let me just put a needle in there and draw off some cells. And I typically don't do that. If it looks like it needs surgery, don't waste time with that and the money associated with that. Just get them knocked out, take it off, and decide. If it's really big, then it makes sense to maybe tap it. Does that make sense to you?
How much does that cost, out of curiosity, ballpark?
Well, I could never price somebody else's thing. But
how much do you charge?
If I was doing that procedure, again, depending on the size, you know, with pre-anesthetic and all the stuff that we tack on to it, it could easily be a $500 to $600 investment, maybe a little more.
Okay.
So, but then you have an answer, and then once you have the answer, you don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. Whether it's good or bad, you can figure out what's next best to do.
All right, thank you.
You want to know if it's. By the way, John, did that help? Did that help you?
John's gone.
Yeah, John.
That was my question.
That was Tim's question. But Tim, you do want to make sure to find out if it's benign, because if it's B10 or B11, that's even worse.
This is my dog. I'm gonna come to my house and tell him to bite you.
Okay, that's okay with me.
I have a question from a texter as well. If I can get that on before Ed.
Sure you can.
And Dr. Doug, a listener wants to know your thoughts on pet plate. And other human-grade dog foods. Apparently, they have a 9-year-old Taco Bell dog, like a Chihuahua, and they've got him on pet plate right now after an autoimmune disease scare recently.
Okay, so I don't know that particular product, but the organics or the human-grade products are becoming more and more popular because they're easy to sell, that concept. Mm-hmm. So I would have, if you want, I have a nutritionist that I always send people to who could definitely... make an evaluation of that officially. So otherwise, you know, if you want to send me some information on the product, like on the label, I'll be happy to put my 2 cents in. And by the way, if somebody referred you, did your doctor refer you to that diet as a result of the autoimmune issue? And if so, then I would stick with it if it's working. So, what they do with the autoimmune, they're going to probably lower the amount of proteins and the kind of proteins that are going into your system, because a lot of times that can help stimulate an autoimmune response to cells. So, but anyway, again, if you want some help, we can pursue it. Okay?
All right.
Okay.
Okay, let's get Ed in here. Ed, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Dr. Doug.
Hey, Ed, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm PMDAM.
Close enough.
It's backwards.
I have a question about a feral cat that has been roaming up on our house, and my wife has started feeding. And we took this cat and basically adopted it and breeded our own cat. And it has, we took it to the vet, and it has FIV, which I think is, or FI, I'm not exactly sure what it is, the HIV version for feline.
Yes.
And it's called this cat, it, go ahead.
Well, go ahead and finish your story. I'll help.
The cat will come into the house, eat, and lay down and sleep for a little while, and then at night wants to go outside and never wants to stay in the house ever. It always goes to the door and just meows until you let it out. And mm-hmm. I'm afraid.
Oh, Ed.
Oh no.
Lucy, buddy.
Ed.
Is there any, anything that can be done to keep them from wanting to go outside?
That's a tough one to get to change that behavior, especially since they've been a feral cat. Here's a couple of concerns. By letting that cat out with that disease, he's going to spread it to other diseases that might be house cats that are outside at the moment. So really, it should stay inside for sure. It's not going to be a problem for you or your dog. It could be a problem for another cat, okay? So beware of that. And I would say that the simplest thing to do, if your vet will work with you, is I would keep the cat in, and I would probably try, and one thing to do is try one of these. They have some calming kind of medications you can use. Some are holistic, some are just more pharmaceutical. And you can talk to your vet about trying something in the evenings just to sort of knock the cat out a little bit. You don't want to knock him all the way, but so that he gets more comfortable just being in the house. Okay, and it's going to take some time. Problem is, it's going to be a nuisance for you if he's not quieting down, right? So, and maybe if you have to, you can isolate him to a part of the house that isn't going to be a disruption for you guys. But that's
Ed, when you first took that cat to the vet, did it go nuts? Because it's a feral cat. A lot of times, they're tough to get in the car or get in to take to the vet.
We took it in the house, and it kind of got. It took a little while for it to get used to us and being in the house. It was really skittish and about every little noise in the house. And then finally, now it'll sleep all day if you let it. And when we did all the housebreaking of the cat, it's not housebroken because it always wants to go out. It just meows at the door until you can't take it anymore and you have to let him out. And it won't use a litter box or anything. I think it just needs to go to the bathroom most of the time. So.
Right.
With it, when we decided, it gets in brawls all the time, too. It fights other, it's got a part of its ear missing. It's got scars all over it from getting in fights with I don't know what being.
Is he neutered? Is he neutered?
He is not. He is not. We had an appointment to do that with him, and he didn't show up at the door in the morning. He's usually outside the door in the morning meowing for food. And he didn't show up the day we had it set to have him.
Oh, he knew.
He probably heard you talking about it.
They're smarter than we thought.
When I saw him that night, I said, I go, you knew what was coming, I guess, buddy. We saved you from losing your manhood. So,
if he's not neutered, the doctor, he might be going at night fighting other cats to get some good cat vulva.
Well, that's what I said. He's getting the four-legged teeth. Anyway.
I just don't want to be spreading the disease either.
Yeah, I think you definitely want to get him neutered, first off, because that might be part of the syndrome issue. And then I would isolate him. It's going to take about 4 to 6 weeks for those hormones to kind of dissipate out of his body. So his behavior will be the same. But once he has that loss of testosterone, that might help quiet him down, make him less interested. And then the other thing is to kind of get him conditioned to a living space in the basement or in the utility room, wherever you want him, overnight, and let him fight through and you guys deal with that crying for a while. And I really think that over time, he's probably going to just settle and say, hey, this is okay. But definitely
the other
get
way,
neutered right away.
The other way to keep the cat home is get a female cat at home. Now, he's not going anywhere. That's probably why he's going out. You get laid.
Well, I'm also worried about the litter box. He doesn't. We put one in just to see what he would do. He doesn't even know it's there. He could care less about that litter box.
So one thing,
assuming part of the reason he goes outside is to go to the bathroom.
Okay, so one thing you can do is, number one, there's some material that's being sold that has, basically, it has like catnip product built into the litter. And that draws into it, okay? And then the other thing is, if you have him in an isolated room for a couple of weeks, he's going to poop and pee somewhere. So hopefully, if he's pooping, I put in two litter boxes so it's so too easy for him. And then I would, every time there's a poop, I'd put it up into the litter box and let him realize. He'll start to understand, because they do have kind of a evolution kind of has driven them to want to look to hide their poop and pee somewhere. So it's not something they're typically comfortable doing, just spraying everywhere. However, the fact that he's not neutered.
And there's always a however in their life.
Yeah. So until you get him neutered, you really can't start a decent program of this transition we're talking about. So that I would do tomorrow or whatever.
And the other thing we've talked about, and this works 100% of the time, you need to poop in the litter box and show the cat what you're doing. Every time you need to go, go to the litter box, let the cat watch you, and the cat will go, okay, so that's what that's for.
And I would I'm also thinking out loud, I would also sponge up any urine and squeeze it into the litter box so that it's dry, and then clear up the area that he's peed at. There's some hormonal products your veterinarian would have that help dilute that smell, and so it doesn't sit there. And what you can't smell, he can smell, right? So
this does sound like a good time.
Yeah. I mean, you got a project ahead of you, but it's definitely doable. Okay.
And then, what are the chances of when they said he has FIV? I assume that is not full blown, that he could like live a long life with having that disease. Is it the same as a human, where that FIV develops into like cat version of AIDS, like a full blown AIDS? Can that happen?
We call it feline AIDS. So he can become clinical at any time. And if something that was simple to another cat, like a little respiratory problem, could become a full blown pneumonia, because with FIV and HIV, the virus acts on the immune system and makes it less efficient. So, you know, bugs are there everywhere, viruses, bacteria, everything's in our environment, but we have a normal immune system, we generally can fight it off. But in situations like this, when he gets infected, he can have a more persistent, longer infection. So you're going to have to watch him. But again, if he's inside all the time, you can control that a lot better.
It's also possible with medication to get that FIV down to FOU or even THRE. Awesome. Thanks for laughing, Ed. I appreciate it.
What? Did you just spell three with one E?
I always laugh at bad jokes.
Yes, I did. FIV. Tim, here, follow me, Tim. FIV, get it reduced down to FOU or THRE. Get it? Take the last letter off, like FIV. Holy mackerel.
Oh,
okay. There goes Ed. And I think
I
can't believe how many people know that song. And I don't know. I know it's a Three Stooges thing, but I can't believe how many people can sing that. Well, I never did get it.
You have to be over 60, I think, to know it.
No, I'm out. That counts me out.
Limey and Dan.
Doctor, what? Tim?
Say Limey and Dan, when Frank sends us home tonight on that little short bus, will you guys explain to me what that was, that 5-4-3? Because I'm still confused.
FIV is a condition. I said with medication, you get it reduced down to FOU or to THRE. See,
but they don't have the same number of letters. That's what threw me off.
It doesn't matter, Tim. FIV, the E is missing. FOU, the R would be missing. Oh, my God.
I have no idea what the hell he's talking about.
The six is, the X is missing?
I just got it. He's counting backwards.
I just got an email from that Bob. He said, okay, I did keep listening. I've changed my mind. Now this is the funniest show I've ever heard, Frank. Thanks for that funny FIV thing. I want him back.
Is that Bob with two O's?
Yeah,
that's Bob with two O's. No. Yes, it is. Doctor, we appreciate it, and I assume we'll do it again next Wednesday, correct?
Yes, thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Okay, Dr. Good, Doug guys. Pernikoff, everybody. Best friend. And the official veterinarian of the large morning show in the afternoon, brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. Spring is when a lot of people replace their windows, so how could you possibly, if you're AM and the PM, do that without at least taking a look at what Window World has to offer? Playhouse is coming up after the news, a little update on the trivia night. I still need I need more money. I want us to look real good and responsible for, you know, again, I want to beat everybody else and be the highest generating show or station for this trivia night, because it's a great cause, St. Jude Children's Hospital. So we got some other stuff too, and a joke that I'm not being paid $200 to tell it, but when the world cares, which means ultimately St. Jude is going to get $200, because a listener is paying $200 to hear the joke that I'm going to tell today. So maybe that'll prompt some other people to want to pay to hear a joke. We'll see. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Doug Vaughn. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Attorney General William Barr says the FBI engaged in spying on the Trump presidential campaign in 2016. Barr told a Senate committee today that spying on a political campaign is a big deal, and he wants to ensure that investigators acted properly.